right, at this time, very quietly, the kids are dismissed for Asbury Church Kids, so if you want to make your way over. Everybody else, would you grab your Bibles and turn with me to Matthew chapter 28. So let me ask you a question as we begin. What moves you? Now, we know what moves the kids. You give them permission to leave, and they all start moving, right? How many know that different people are moved by different things? Different, you know, moments, opportunities, they'll cause people to begin to move. I was listening to a podcast not that long ago. It was a podcast on investing and stuff like that. It was one of those really fun things that I listen to every once in a while. And the gentleman was talking about investing and how people approach their future. And he goes, when it comes to the idea of investing or just kind of working with like money and stuff like that, he goes, he talked about two primary motivations that have the ability to sabotage plans for the future. And I was like, huh, that's kind of interesting, right? And so the two things that he mentioned were this, is that some people are moved by fear and other people are moved by greed. When you're moved by fear, the concern becomes so great that you're like, oh my goodness, and you begin to respond and you begin to react to things around you. And how many know that fear isn't always a great motivator for good decisions? Can I get a witness on that one? Right? And so part of it is sometimes in our lives, people are moved by fear, by the dread of stuff going on around them, you know, maybe the fear of losing a job or fear or insecurity that arises in relationship. But fear can move people. The other thing he mentioned was not only fear, but the other side he mentioned was greed. And greed is just like if fear is something you're trying to avoid, greed is something you're trying to gain. It's that thing that if I could just get a hold of it, it's going to make my life better. If I can just get a hold of this thing, it's going to help me experience, you know, life at a way better level. And I think we do this in life. I think many times we're moved by fear and we're moved by greed, where we continue to grasp things. And sometimes in our grasping of things, we just want to continue to hold on to them. I want to challenge our hearts over the next 50 days with being moved by something that's not fear and something that's not greed. My prayer is that we would be a people who are moved by mission. Now, as a church, every September, the end of September, we begin a 50-day focus as a church. And part of the reason we do this is because I go into a season and I'm praying and I'm like, God, what is it that you're calling us to as a church? Because did you know that God has a purpose for us? He has a purpose for us individually. He has a purpose for us together as a body of believers. And I keep asking God, what is it that you want to speak to our hearts? And so as we come into a 50-day focus, this is just one of the things that God has been putting on my heart for us. And my prayer over the next 50 days is that we would be a people that are moved by mission. Now, what is mission? It involves embarking on a specific task, whether as a purpose or as a group. And this task is something that we're actually charged with or commissioned to do. In some sense, it becomes a calling. It becomes a vocation, something that moves us. And as a consequence, people work together many times to perform a service or to carry on an activity. And I'm convinced that as the church, Jesus has given us a mission to continue what he started. And I think the greatest adventure that you and I can ever experience is actually saying yes to the mission of Jesus for our lives. I love the idea of adventure. Adventure is that opportunity to step into something that's bigger than you, something that's going to challenge you and stretch you. Now, I know there are some people that don't like to be challenged and stretched. I'm not going to ask who that is. But this is what I believe. I believe that God didn't make us for little things. I believe that God has made us with purpose and for purpose. He knew what he was doing when he not only shaped us in our mother's womb, But he has a divine purpose by which he wants to release us so we can impact the world with his goodness and with his grace. And I'm convinced that if we can do this, if we will say yes to Him, then what happens is we actually embark, we become a part of an amazing adventure. Now, adventure isn't what some, you know, everybody wants, and I understand that. I love the story of Ernest Shackleton when he was trying to figure out how to walk across Antarctica. Now, how many here have been to all the continents but Antarctica? I think Pastor Duane has been to all the continents except Antarctica. Anybody here been to all the continents? You know, some of you're counting. Just so you know, I think there's five of them. North America, South America, Europe, Asia, and Australia, Africa, Antarctica. Six. So there's six. Okay, so I'm just doing this. We homeschool, and so every once in a while, you have to remember these things. I'm like, okay, North America. How many been to North America?
Oh, yeah.
How about South America? How about Europe?
Yes.
Okay, so I got three. How about Asia? Okay, a few. How about Australia? Africa. Come on, I know over here we got some Africa. How about Antarctica? Ugh. How many would... You been to Antarctica, Don? Oh, everybody, give it up for Dawn. After the service, you're going to have to grill him on all the things that happened in Antarctica. Well, there was this race to get to the South Pole, and that people were doing because they had gotten to the North Pole. They're like, let's race to the South Pole, and it got done. And so Ernest Shackleton was just like going, hey, how about be the first people to walk across Antarctica from like one side through the middle and then back down. And this was, I believe, in the late 1800s, early 20th century. Late 1800s, early 1900s. Anyways, he wanted a group of people to go with him on this adventure. And so he put an ad in the paper. And you know what the ad was? This is what the ad said. Men wanted for a hazardous journey. Low wages, bitter cold, long hours of complete darkness, safe return doubtful, honor and recognition in event of success. How many would sign up on that one? You're like, I got like my son. I'm like, please, right? You know, you think about it. Did you know that the story goes that as that ad was put out, 5,000 men responded.
Wow.
And, this is quotes, three sporty girls, which I thought was pretty funny, right? So, but you think about it, who would sign up to do something like that, right? Hazardous journey, low wages, bitter cold, lots of darkness, safe return doubtful. But this is what I really believe. I believe that there's actually something that becomes calling in us that causes us or challenges us to live above what's normal and what's comfortable. And I believe that there is something that Jesus is calling his church to, and that is to an adventure. An adventure to actually make a difference in this world. I believe it's around this idea of bringing the hope of Jesus to every generation, whether it's across the street or around the world. And so I just want, as we begin this 50-day journey, I want to think around the idea of being moved by mission. And the big idea is this: the mission of Jesus is to move and motivate his church. So let me ask you, what moves you? As we talk about the church, understand the church isn't just an organization. It is the people of God. The people who have heard his call and have responded in faith. And as we come to Matthew chapter 28, this is kind of like the last scene that we have of the disciples and Jesus in the book of Matthew. And you know the story. Jesus has done all these amazing things. He's died and he's risen again. And he said, hey, followers, my disciples, meet me on this mountain in Galilee. And so we're going to pick up reading in verse 16. I think we have it on the screen so you can follow along if you don't have your Bibles. And it says this: then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Now, as we think about this passage of Scripture, I want to note three things this morning. The first is simply this: why the mission is necessary. Like, why do mission? Why be moved by mission? Why embark on this adventure that Jesus calls us to? And the reason is simply this: God's heart breaks for broken humanity and creation. I don't know about you, but have you ever watched the things that unfold in our times and in our days, and your heart just breaks? Like, in the last few weeks, we've witnessed different tragedies and we've witnessed different things, and we're just like going, "Oh my goodness," and our heart breaks. Sometimes it kind of disorients us, and we're trying to figure out, how do we get through this stuff? And it's just like the chaos, the humanity, so it's a mess. I want you to know that which you feel for the brokenness of humanity pales in comparison to the heart of God for us. I want you to understand that when God sees this world that He created good, these people that He created in His image, these people who He designed with purpose and for purpose, when He sees all the things that are going on, it doesn't bring joy to His heart. It breaks His heart as He watches families fall apart, and as He watches the arguing and the bickering, the taking of life, the senseless violence. His heart breaks. And I know many times we think, well, the way we got to, and we come up with all these solutions to try and solve these problems. But humanity's problem will never be solved through the halls of government, better education, more funding, because the problem ultimately isn't outside of us, the issue is actually in us. When Matthew begins his gospel, he begins the account of Joseph as he's having another one of his, Joseph is having this dream, and the angel comes to him and tells him that, hey, Mary's pregnant and all these different things, and he's supposed to become a father in the midst of this stuff. And the angel says, and what you're going to do is you are going to give a name to this child. And his name will be called Jesus. And just so you know, the Hebrew name where we get Jesus from means Yahweh saves. That God saves. And the angel said, and the reason he's going to have this name is because he's going to save people from their sins. The reason the world is the mess that it is because of the sinfulness of the human heart. And when God looks down upon the mess of humanity, He is not indifferent to the pain and to the chaos. His heart breaks, but it doesn't just break, it compels Him to action. So God stepped into history in the person of Jesus and gave His life in order to pay the penalty for sin. See, when God looks at humanity, He sees that there's a people that need rescuing. And this idea of saving people from their sins is this idea of rescuing, because the reality is there's nothing we can do to eliminate or to remove our sin. How many of you have ever said something you wish you could take back, but you realize you can't take it back? How many of you get reminded of it sometimes? Because once something is set in motion, how do you stop it? Once sin is set in motion, how do you stop it? And what sin does, it's an act of our rebellion against God, the choosing of our own way, but it sets something in motion, and we can't stop it. And that which is set in motion brings both destruction and death. And God sees the brokenness of humanity, and he says, you know what? I will do something to change all of this. Because he is not indifferent to the brokenness of our world, so he rescues. But not only that, he's the God who redeems. And the idea of redemption is to bring something good out of something that's awful. This idea of redemption is you're restoring value to something. You're making something good. I love the passage in Isaiah that says this. He gives beauty for ashes. And the truth is because of sin, lives get burnt and they get torched. And I want you to know that the power of God is so great that no matter what you've done, no matter your sin, no matter the mess that you've created, Jesus has the power to bring something good out of it. God is not indifferent. So he rescues, he redeems. But not only that, he restores. You see, sin has a way of breaking not only us inside, but has a way of robbing us of our purpose. And there are times in our lives that we think, you know what, I will never be this, or I can never be this. If you knew my history, if you knew my past, you know, what good could come out of this life? And God's like, listen, I made you for good. I made you for a purpose, and I will restore you. And God's purpose in stepping into history is to rescue, to redeem, and to restore. And I want you to know, this is why the mission is so important. Because people you know, people you love, the people around you, the people you may not even know, their lives are devastated by sin, and there is only one way for sin to be remedied. It was Jesus who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. The only way by which sin can be dealt with on our broken world is through Jesus. And we need to be absolutely convinced in our heart and understand why the mission is necessary. Because if we don't, we'll just keep getting caught up in our own lives. And this actually brings me, I think, to the second thing. And that is this, is that the mission is about one main thing. Okay, how many of you like keeping it simple? You're like, you're a KISS kind of person. Keep it simple, silly. Right? Let's keep it simple. Now, many of you have heard the saying, you've got to keep the main thing, the main thing. You got to keep the main thing, the main thing. And the reason that we have to say you got to keep the main thing, is because you know what we're really good at? We're really good at majoring on the minors and minoring on the majors. Does that make sense? Because we get so distracted. See, as Jesus is with his followers at the end of Matthew, he has this wonderful passage that says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And we look at that and we start kind of going, okay, so there's a going, there's a baptizing, there's a teaching. But if you look at the way that Matthew writes that sentence in the language that he was writing in, there's only one main thing, and that main thing is this. Go make disciples. Go make disciples. You see, it's the main thing that the followers of Jesus are called to do, to make disciples. And what does that mean to make disciples? Because that sounds real churchy. Let me tell you what it means. It means to bring people into relationship with the risen Savior and seeing their lives transformed by His grace through faith. This is what the church is called to. This is how this is how Jesus or how God intends to solve the necessity of the mission. He wants us to bring good news to a broken world, to disrupt the darkness as beacons of light. But as I noted, sometimes we get a little distracted. And can I just tell you something? Some of the things that distract us aren't bad things. You see, sometimes we think, you know, that if we're distracted, we're being distracted by a bad thing. But how many know we can be distracted by good things? You know, even when it comes to, you know, what does it mean to be a church? And we say, oh, you know what church is about? It's about singing. How many, we love to sing around here. We love to make a joyful noise. We love music. And we think church is about the music. How many know singing and music is good? But how many know it's not the main thing? Sometimes you say, you know what I love about church? It's getting together and eating. Aren't you grateful that we're a church that gets together and eat? Come on. Oh, yeah. Come on now. Men's breakfast. Oh, yeah. Pancakes. Let's do it. And sometimes we think, you know, well, eating together, that's a good thing. Being in community is a good thing. How many know that's a good thing, but it's not the main thing? Sometimes we can say this, you know what? Getting smart. How many of you got room to get smart? Don't raise your hands. How many sitting next to somebody that's got room to get smart? That's always an easier one. And we think, you know what? We just need another sermon. We need another message. We need to just dive down. And just so you know, that's a good thing. But it's not the main thing. And just so you know, you'll find out that it says this, go and make disciples. And one of the ways we do it is actually through baptizing and teaching. But baptizing and teaching are subject to the main thing, which is making disciples. It's the main thing. Sometimes we can think this, well, you know what I love about our church? We're a church that serves people in our community. How many know serving people in the community is a good thing? How many know it's not the main thing? The main thing is making disciples. And what is that making disciples piece? Again, it is bringing people into relationship with the risen Savior and seeing their lives transformed by His grace through faith. You see, you and I are tasked with reaching and developing the next generation of Christ followers. And we get to do this through our declarations and our demonstrations. We get to be the people through whom He begins to change and transform lives. And I'll say this again, the mission is about keeping the main thing the main thing. And can I tell you, I've been around church long enough that sometimes we make the good things more important than the main things, main thing. And it's like, God, would you help us? Because what does God want to do? God wants to rescue a broken world. God wants to change lives and destinies. He wants to redeem, bring good out of it, and He wants to restore. Brings me to my third thing. So we've talked about why the mission is necessary. The mission is about one main thing. The third thing is this. The mission is for all followers of Jesus, no matter where you're at. Okay, so I need you to put the verse back up for me, please. Verse 16 and 17, because I want you to note how this begins. I love this part. When the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. Now look at this next part. When they saw Him, they worshipped, and what's that next part? Yeah, the Him, they worshipped Him, but, you guys are like way too literal. They worship Him, you're right, Him, right? What's that next part? But some Oh my goodness. I love this part. Who did Jesus pick to go on mission? The perfect people? The people who had it all together? The people that had it all figured out? He's like going, no, hey, you're my follower. I'm putting you on mission. Yeah, but I don't have it all figured out. Yeah, no surprise there. How many here got issues? How many got it all figured out? How many trying to figure it out still? And Jesus is like, guys, listen, because this is what we think many times. Well, I have to get here before I can do this. And Jesus is like, hey, guys, listen. This is like, he's just died and risen again. He's like, they've seen him die. They've seen him rise again. They've seen his living being, like dead, now back alive. And he's like, hey, come meet me at the mountain. And people are like going, okay, so what are we getting in? And this idea of doubted here is they're kind of two opinions. They're just like, I can't figure this one out. Like, what are we supposed to do? I'm convinced the enemy wants to keep the church from being the church and doing what the church has been called to do. And one of the strategies of the enemy is to convince you to disqualify yourself from God's purpose. And how many here have some self-talk that goes on? I'm not asking if you talk to yourself. How many know we all do? Sometimes best conversation all day. Can I get a witness? But you know what I'm talking about. How many got an internal script that you wrestle with at times? You're not smart enough. You're not good enough. Do you remember what you did? And that internal script plays in us, and we're like going, you know what? I can't do this. You see, the enemy is trying to dim the light that is in you. But Jesus looked at his imperfect group of disciples who are both worshiping and doubting, and they're kind of like coming to this place. And he's convinced that they actually can do the mission for two reasons. The first reason is this, because all authority in heaven and on earth had been given to him. And you'll notice that it says, therefore go, therefore make disciples. Like, our ability to make disciples actually flows through the authority of Jesus, because he is God who's come in the flesh, who paid the penalty for sin, who died and rose again and is seated at the right hand of God and empowers us to do his purpose. And so guess what? We can. Even though we don't have our stuff all worked out, aren't you grateful that salvation doesn't rest in our perfection, but in his? You see, we can accomplish the mission because he has triumphed. And now he seeks to extend his kingdom and to deal with the brokenness of humanity around us, to help bring rescue and restoration and redemption. Through you and me, all authority has been given to him, therefore we go. So we can accomplish, even in our imperfection, the mission, because he is the one who's given us authority. But not only that, secondly, because Jesus is personally invested in the mission. Like, I want you to know, you can make a difference in this world, not only because he's given you authority, but do you see what it says at the end of the passage? Jesus tells his followers this, surely I am with you on Tuesdays. On Sunday morning. No, he says, I am with you always. And then he says this, to the very end of the age. Did you know there is not a moment in our lives as followers of Jesus where he is not with us? The reason we can accomplish is because he is personally invested in rescuing lost people so that we don't just have to do it on our own. He is with us to empower us and to help us do it. You see, the mission is for all the followers of Jesus, no matter where we're at. If you're new to the faith or you've been in this faith for a whole long time, I want you to know that our responsibility, our call is to the mission. And you know what I've come to discover along the way? That when we are intentional about making disciples, He changes us. Like, He makes us while we make disciples. It's amazing how God begins to change and transform us in greater and greater ways. You see, we need to let the grace of Jesus grow us as we move on mission. The mission of Jesus is to move and to motivate His church. I want to invite the worship team to come up as we get ready to close. So how do you get moved by mission? Three really fast things. Number one, it involves saying yes to Jesus. You see, are we going to be moved by mission or not? Yes or no? Are we going to participate in what He's doing to help overcome and to deal with the brokenness of our world and our community? Yes or no? And it begins simply by us saying yes to the grace of Jesus. I want you to know He loves us so much that He's come to rescue, redeem, and to restore our lives. That our lives do not have to be defined by our yesterdays, our worst moments, our worst mistakes. There is a grace that meets us so that we might know forgiveness of sins. Jesus went to the cross to pay the penalty for every sin, and I love what it says, that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There is a gift that Jesus offers us for our own brokenness. And as we say yes to Him, He invites us into a living relationship with a risen Savior. And that's the thing that changes everything for you and me. So we have to say yes to the grace of Jesus. But not only that, we have to say yes to the purpose of Jesus. That means we actually have to be intentional about keeping the main thing the main thing. Like, we have to be intentional about keeping the main thing the main thing. We need to be a people who are committed to bringing the hope of Jesus to every generation. You'll notice that it says, go and make disciples of all nations. So that word go is like, in your going, make disciples. Did you know when our mission begins, or our mission, we're supposed to live on mission? No, wherever we put our feet, wherever we take a step, that is the part of the place that we have been given a mission to bring the good news of Jesus to people. That means when you walk into a Wegmans or a Walmart or wherever you walk to do your shopping, that you're on mission. Did you know that when you go to work, wherever you put your step, that's a place that you're called on mission? For God to help restore and rescue and redeem that which is broken. Part of what you and I have to do is simply say yes to the purpose of Jesus. Don't worry. He has the authority, and He's given us the authority to do it, and He's with us. The third thing that I would note, if we're going to be a church that's moved and motivated by His mission, we say yes to His grace, yes to His purpose, and finally, yes to the adventure. How many know there's a difference between saying a thing and doing a thing? Like, how many know the adventure of skydiving is more than just getting on a plane? If you really want the adventure, you've got to say yes, and at some point you have to step out of the plane. Just so you know, that's not my kind of adventure. Bless the Lord. I would rather puzzle than throw myself out of a plane, right? The adventure is more than just saying it, it's actually doing it. It's not just saying, hey, yeah, I'll sign up to cross the Antarctic. It's, all right, I will get on the boat and I will go, and then I will get off the boat and I will walk. The adventure is how we live the yes. It's leaving the safety of the usual and the comfort and comfortable for something of greater significance. And I really believe that we have to adjust our lives to be on mission. And as I've been praying, as I've been saying, God, what are you calling us to? Again, I continue to watch all the junk that takes place around us and recognizing, yeah, it would be great if this was the solution and this was the solution and this was the solution, but the real solution is still Jesus. The gospel of Jesus Christ that breaks the power of sin. And will we be that people on mission? I want you to know Jesus still wants to rescue, redeem, and restore broken humanity and creation. I want you to know I am praying a difficult prayer over your life. Just so you know, because I love you. How many know you love people, you challenge them? Come on now. You know what I'm praying for you? I am praying that you would see brokenness differently around you. I'm praying that God would begin to reveal to your heart his understanding of the brokenness that's around us. Like, I believe that as a church, we need to become passionate about the things that he's passionate about. That we allow the brokenness of the world around us to begin to motivate us to say, Jesus, I will live on mission for you and with you. Else is going to fix this. And to not see brokenness just from our frustration and brokenness from our irritation, but see brokenness from heaven's perspective. Because what Jesus wants to do is to transform everyone and everything by his grace. He still wants to rescue, redeem, and restore, and bring people into a relationship with him. Their lives might be changed. And that's what making disciples is all about. And again, it doesn't matter if we don't have all our stuff figured out. It doesn't matter if we're new to this or not. Jesus wants to work in us and through us to change a broken world. So my prayer is, Lord, would you just help us say yes to your mission? Help us say yes to your grace, yes to your purpose, yes to the adventure that you're calling us on. Because I believe that there are hearts and lives. There are people and families. There's communities and countries that God longs to rescue, redeem, and restore. And so may we be moved by mission. May we be moved by the need that's in our world. So, Father, God, would you begin to touch our hearts? brokenness of our world. A world that's bound by sin. It's lost in darkness. Lord, people who have believed lies. Lord, I ask that you would help us be moved by mission. God, because our world needs a Savior. Our world needs healing. Lord, that healing can only come from you. Would just simply say, Lord, let my heart be moved by your mission. Let my heart be moved by your purpose. That you would just lift your hands and say, Lord, my life be moved. Let my heart be moved. Shake us up from our indifference. God, would you challenge us and stretch us? Would you give us faith that moves? Because, God, there's a need and there's a broken world. Heads are bowed. Maybe you're here this morning and you have never made a decision to follow Jesus with your life. Maybe you've been trying all sorts of different strategies to overcome the brokenness. You're saying, I need this Jesus. I need this forgiveness. I need new beginnings. If that's you, would you lift your hand? Because I want to pray with you. Jesus, you see every hand, every heart. And God, I thank you that you are calling us to something greater. Lord, may we be faithful to your purpose. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand as we sing.